Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Red Light Sports Rambo. I am Troy Otradovic, joined by the marvelous Evan Witalison out in the freezing state of Wisconsin. What's going on today, buddy?
Well, I wouldn't really say freezing state today. It's more like not really sure what it is. It started the day with freezing rain, then turned to rain. Now it's essentially turning back into freezing rain, and then going to turn back into rain. So kind of hard to explain what exactly it is outside. But all I know, it's quite the adventure to walk outside, because you don't know if you have to walk like a penguin or if you can walk normal, because you don't know if it's ice you're walking on or just water. So, but spirits are high in the great state of Wisconsin, and the Green Bay Packers are just one win away from appearing in the Super Bowl, taking on either the Steelers or the Patriots. So the Georgia Dome, which they had a big celebration on Sunday, in what was potentially the last football game ever played at the Georgia Dome, gets to play another football game. So hopefully on Saturday was the last win the Georgia Dome will have in its history. But, we're going to talk about that game. We're going to talk about that game later in the week. Right now it's time to talk Packers-Cowboys. The Packers are able to finish off the Cowboys. It looked like early on the Packers were going to completely blow the Cowboys out, sitting at 21-3. Then the Cowboys came storming back. Then the Packers end up getting the win in the end. So, this is going to be a great, fun game to talk about, as Aaron Rodgers looked like a magician once again in a couple of throws that he made. So, I tip my hat to Rodgers. He is definitely the best quarterback in football. And a couple of those throws that he made, nobody, especially Tom Brady, could even dream about making a couple of those throws that he did. But before we do get into that game, throw it out back to you. How are things going in Western Pennsylvania?
Well, kind of like you weather-wise. Not really sure what you get. It is freezing, like I told you before the show. Got to turn on the heater. Up to 51 degrees now in the home studio. But things are going good. New week, holiday today. So I didn't have to work, but did a number of things around the house. And, got ready for the show. Recovered from the heart attack that I had during the Packer game. And then, of course, the Steelers game that came down to another exciting finish to the weekend. And the NFL, Evan, probably had to hope for something good on Sunday. Up to that point, the games were pretty much double-digit blowouts. Not very intriguing, interesting games to that point. But then you had the Packers-Cowboys, then you had the Steelers and Chiefs. And, both games came down to late in the game. Chiefs Steelers not as dramatic as the Packers-Cowboys, but it was a pretty exciting game, and tomorrow night we're going to talk about that game. But I'm going to tell you what, Evan, the Packers did what we had talked about last week. They came out quickly. They didn't get off to a slow start. They actually got off to a blazing fast start. Then they kind of simmered down a little bit, and then from the ashes, the smoldering fire just erupted again at the end of the game. But they came out on fire, and I'm going to turn it back over to you. We're going to get started and talk about this game.
Yeah, like you said, the offense comes out on fire, which is you and I talked about was going to be key if the offense came out sluggish like they did the prior two games. The Cowboys were going to run away with this early, and it would be an early finish for the Packers if the Packers came out sluggish. But they didn't. They came out on fire, scoring 21 points in the first half, 7 in the first quarter, and put the Cowboys in a hole, which I know the Cowboys ended up running at Elliott 22 times for 125, but they forced Dak to have to throw the ball 38 times. because, you know, he had to come from behind. To me, that was key. And I think Dallas kind of did it to themselves early on. You know, they had a, I think it was a 3rd-and-2, and they throw the ball, which fell incomplete. And then they had a 4th-and-2, and then they punted the ball. To me, they should have ran it on 3rd-and-2. You got Ezekiel Elliott, one of the best running backs in the NFL during the 2016 season, and you chose to throw it on 3rd-and-2 and then punt. So, you know, Dallas's play calling definitely questionable a lot in the game. It looked like Jason Garrett was his usual deer caught the headlights look numerous times in this game, as it looked like he didn't really know what to do, especially when the Packers jumped out to an early lead and made it look easy doing it as well. You know, some concerns in the game. You had Morgan Burnett leaving the game with a quad injury, which we hope it's nothing that's going to keep him out against Atlanta, because the Packers do desperately need him. Bakhtiari missed a couple plays due to a leg injury, but he did re-enter the game, which is great to see. And the Packers' defensive backs, after the Packers' very quick start, struggled repeatedly in this game to derail, to stop Dez Bryant, who had 9 catches for 132 and 2 touchdowns. Terrence Williams, 4 for 68, and Beasley, 4 for 45, and Jason Witten, 6 for 59. So the defensive backs didn't look that great. And I'm not really going to pin my, you know, blame the defensive backs for that per se for that, to be honest, Troy. I'm going to blame it more on the lack of pass. They had Micah Hyde and Nick Perry, the only two Packers with sacks in this game. And Nick Perry's came late in the game. I think it came 3rd or 4th quarter. And then Clay Matthews, who had 1 tackle and was pretty much non-existent the entire game, finally had a big play on the drive that the Cowboys settled for a game-tying field goal with 35 seconds to go, rather than you know, going for a the Cowboys had to settle for a field goal with Clay Matthews getting some pressure on the quarterback rather than, you know, keeping the drive alive and going for a touchdown. But I put the defense's lack of success in the passing game strictly on the pass rush. Prescott, way too often to me, Troy, had all day to throw. He had all day to throw. But positive, though, Aaron Rodgers was Aaron Rodgers, who just was a surgeon, and his pass to Jared Cook with just 3 seconds to go was just incredible. He rolls to his left, steps up in the pocket, makes a throw, and hits Jared Cook, who somehow keeps both feet in bounds before going out of bounds, and set Mason Crosby up for a game-winning, I think, 56-yard field goal, a 51-yard field goal. The 56-yarder was the one earlier in the game that gave the Packers the lead back. But this Packer game, they were very resilient. They did panic when the Cowboys got close. They kept fighting. And, you know, Micah Hyde probably had it, to me, had a humongous play. The interception, jumping the screen route. I know Rodgers ended up throwing an interception on that on the following drive, but that was just watching game film. That was straight up watching game film by Micah Hyde there. He knew, he anticipated, knew it was coming, and then jumped it and intercepted it. But I think a couple plays that do not get enough, and it just kind of shows you how football is a game of inches, is on that same play, Micah Hyde got the interception. Nick Perry was inches away from knocking the ball down. And if Nick Perry knocks the ball down, who knows what happens. And Demarius Randle, for all the criticism that he gets on the drive that ended in the Dan Bailey 52-yard field goal to tie it up, Demarius Randle shoved Beasley out of bounds about 2 yards shy of the first down. If Beasley gets that first down, the Cowboys likely kill the clock, kick a field goal of no time left on the clock, and we likely have a repeat of what has happened the last 2 years in the playoffs, the Packers falling short in overtime. So that's just one play I wanted to bring up. I'm going to throw it back to you. So what were your thoughts on the game?
Yeah, well, I want to just start there. I was watching the game, and as it got to the end, I'm thinking overtime and another loss in overtime for Mike McCarthy. And they actually highlighted it on the broadcast that Mike McCarthy, 9-7 in the playoffs and multiple losses in overtime in the playoffs. And that, you know, losing in the playoffs is one thing, and losing in overtime is even more heartbreaking, I can imagine, as a coach and a player, because it sure sucks as a fan. A couple of things, Evan. You know, you look at this game and the way that they started off so quickly, and I kept saying, just keep your foot on the gas, keep your foot on the gas, because even though I said Dallas is not a team built to come back, You can't let them sustain drives and let them score points, and that's what happened. Is the offense kind of sputtered a little bit there in the third quarter? Like I said, the fire got smoldered a little bit. I really thought, had Aaron Rodgers not thrown an interception on that drive following the Micah Hyde interception, they could have really made it nearly impossible had they went down and scored a touchdown for the Cowboys to come back. That interception gave them life, came back, and, you know, Aaron Rodgers had to be Aaron Rodgers at the end of the game. There's another play in this game, Evan, that still sticks in my mind, and it's two plays. Morgan Burnett getting injured, and then Bryce, who I thought did okay, but Bryce had an opportunity in that game, Evan, to get an interception. And I thought that would have been a huge play. Had he gotten that interception when Prescott tried to hit Williams down the middle, thought that would have been also another big play that may not have resulted in the heroics. But again, nonetheless, it is a game of football, a game of inches, as you say. And Bryce had the ball, hit him right in the midst, and he just couldn't secure it. Not saying – because they said on the broadcast that Morgan Burnett would have had that interception. Well, he would have had it been Morgan Burnett going up, but would he have been in the same position? Who knows? He very well could have been, but, you know, it is what it is. He still broke up the pass. But I'm going to tell you this, Evan. Anybody that wants to debate that Aaron Rodgers is not the best quarterback in the NFL right now, it's crazy talk. After watching Aaron Rodgers orchestrate, and I'm not even talking about the end of the regular season, just in these two playoff games, Aaron Rodgers is in what you call, and I'm air quoting, the zone. Aaron Rodgers has complete confidence in this team and in his receivers, and you know that he is playing at a high level. He's got the fire back, and I'm not sure if you remember, and I think it was Allison that he really got on one play when he got sacked. And I'm not saying that that's a good thing that you're getting, but to me, I didn't see that when this team was 4-6, Evan. Had that been Rodgers during that 10-game stretch, I think it would have been him pouting off to the sideline and going to the sideline and just, you know, I'm not even going to say the pouty face like we talk about Jay Cutler. It would have just been Aaron Rodgers going over to the sideline with that blank stare on his face. I kind of liked that he got on Allison because it showed the emotion that he had and what he's expecting. And so, to me, that was a little bit of leadership from Aaron Rodgers that I didn't see before the winning streak. And then you just watch him and you see, and you can tell in his demeanor that he has all the confidence in the world. The guys now have confidence in this team. Defensively, it sucks that they let him come back, but, you know, you look at it, they're going to have to generate a pass rush against Atlanta. I agree with you 100%. Our defensive backfield, and I've said this a million times, you've said it a million times, doesn't matter who the defensive backs are, if you can't generate a pass rush, you're going to be in trouble on defense. But the other thing is, it scares me a little bit going up against the Falcons when I saw the separation that the Cowboy receivers were getting. I know they played soft there for a little bit, but, you know, having this defense, it is what it is. And I know we jumped out to the big lead, but I never felt comfortable with the lead in this game, just knowing that the Cowboys had weapons. You know, you look at it, everybody talks about Ezekiel Elliott. Was he a difference in the game? He ran for 125 yards. He did what he's going to do. I thought Dak Prescott played a good game. It's just, you know, I saw the Dallas receivers getting a lot of separation in the secondary. You know, but they made stops early, and was some of it self-inflicted by Dallas? Yes, it was. But that's part of the game. And then I think another key play in this game, Evan, was that pass interference call when Rodgers, you know, basically just heaved the ball deep. Keith intercepted it. It got called back because of a pass interference. Maybe Rodgers saw it. I don't know. But I thought that was a risky throw. If there's one play that I'm going to maybe say, why did you do that? Maybe he saw the pass interference. Maybe he saw the flag and threw it. I don't know. But it was a game, Evan, where you just look at it and say, man, I'm glad they got the win because it was sure exciting at the end of the game.
Yeah, definitely wasn't. You know, I think it was just a bad throw by Rodgers, to be perfectly honest. He got lucky that. He got lucky that the rookie defensive back made a rookie mistake and grabbed Ty Montgomery and turned him around. Now, who knows if Ty Montgomery would have got there? Who knows if Ty Montgomery would have been able to get there and try to run it down? You know, the Cowboys' argument is it wasn't catchable, but it doesn't really matter. You turn the receiver around. But that's what I want to touch on, too. Because I see a lot of Cowboy fans, especially Cowboy players, and our good friend on Fox Sports 1, Skip Bayless, complaining about the officiating. Well, the officiating was bad all around. And you know, they were basically letting the defensive secondaries play. There were a couple plays that Davante Adams almost got undressed, and they didn't call it. So I don't know. I guess I wouldn't necessarily say it was bad officiating, but they let them play. They let the players play. And maybe they should have threw more flags. I don't know. But as one of the sports talk guys in Wisconsin was saying this morning, you know, if they would have been calling the pass interferences or illegal contacts on one team and not the other, then I would have had a little bit more of a gripe. But the fact that they just didn't call them, and a couple of the times they blatantly should have, like I said, Davante Adams got almost stripped out of his jersey twice, and then Jason Witten got tackled. And I know, you know, being a Packer fan, you know, I'm glad that wasn't called. But as a football person watching that, it's like, what are they calling for pass interference or illegal contact? But you know, Packers, they played a really good game. They played a really great game. They were able to keep putting points on the board. It looked like McCarthy was going back to his let's coach not to lose philosophy on the first field goal by Crosby, the 56-yarder. But then he goes and basically gives Aaron Rodgers the freedom with 35 seconds left in the game to try to put Green Bay into range to kick the game-winning field goal. And the Cowboys pretty much did it to themselves. They spiked the ball at one point when they're in field goal range. They spiked the ball, stopped the clock, and then Beasley getting shoved out of bounds with 2 yards shy of the first down. In reality, Beasley probably should have just fell to the ground before going out of bounds if he wasn't going to get the first down, because they left time on the clock for Rodgers. But that's what happens when you got a young team like the Cowboys, with the quarterback and running back and at key positions. That's what happens when you got the young team. Now, the Cowboys, And I'm not a Cowboys fan. I don't like the Cowboys. But the Cowboys, to me, have nothing to be that ashamed of. They make it to the divisional round with a rookie quarterback and Dak Prescott and Ezekiel Elliott, rookie running back, get down in the game 21-3, looking like the Packers are going to just completely run away with the game, and they're able to fight and come back and almost force overtime in the game, scored 18 fourth quarter points while they're down 28-13. They scored, 18 fourth quarter points, and they almost came back to win. And the Cowboys got a very bright future. I'm very impressed with the poise that Dak Prescott showed. Now, a veteran quarterback likely would have checked out of the screen pass at high jumps, but I got to give my compliments to Dallas. They have a bright future ahead of them. I think the one thing that's going to hold Dallas back is going to be Jason Garrett. He gets in his own way in these situations. He gets in his own way, and Scott Linehan just caught a horrible game. I think they should have ran the ball more. 22 times with Elliott, you may think that's crazy, but I think they should have ran the ball more. They should have got other backs involved possibly too, but the Packers couldn't stop the run. They should have ran the ball more. And like I was saying, Jason Garrett got in his own way, and Rob Marinelli got in his own way, and then the Packers took advantage of a couple of mistakes. Now, if they want to beat Atlanta, they got some cleaning up they got to do. Especially getting pressure on the quarterback is going to be the big one. I think the secondary will be okay if they can get pressure on Matt Ryan. And that's something the Packers failed to do the first time the two teams played. It's something they have to do this game. They got to get pressure on Matt Ryan. They can't give Matt Ryan the time that Dak Prescott had to throw the football last night. They can't allow him that much time. And I would say Troy, my hero of the game, my game ball, if I had one to give, would go to Mason Crosby. He nailed that 51-yard field goal not once, but twice. Nailed it twice. The Cowboys call their last timeout to ice the kicker, goes through, and then he nails it a second time. It's like, you can do what you want. I'm going to still nail the kick. And then the holder, Schwamm, the long snapper, Gould, they deserve a ton of credit on that too. And I remember earlier in the year, I think it was way early in the year, the long snap, the new long, I air quotes new, because he was the long snapper last year until he tore his ACL. The quote new long snapper and the new holder was one of your concerns with this Packers team, but I don't think it's much of a concern anymore, huh?
No, and I actually got to give props to Schmuck, because he actually found a little bit of leg in this game, Evan. I know the one punt went in and it came back to the 20, but I'm so used to seeing 35-yard punts that I actually give him a little bit of credit, because he actually was an okay punter in this game, and he didn't screw up when he was called on to punt, and he also was the key holder. So I'm going to give him some props. I've been on him all year. But as far as punting goes, thank you. Thank you for not being yourself in the playoff game, because I'm so used to seeing those crappy punts. They weren't great punts. I wouldn't grade the punter as an A, but we've been so used to mediocre punting all year that he did better than mediocre in this game. So that is going to be key should the Packers want to advance to the Super Bowl. And even in the Super Bowl, punting can be key. It can be a very big key field position thing, and I give him a little bit of credit for at least being above mediocre. Going back to Mason Crosby, Evan, isn't it funny how three years ago, that he basically pooed the bed and people wanted to run him out of town? You and I on this show, we were on him, But we didn't want to run him out of town. And I'm going to tell you, if Mike McCarthy ever did anything great in his coaching career, it is having confidence in Mason Crosby. I know he brought in competition. We talked about it. That's what you and I had said, is that, you know, Mason Crosby needs to get tested. And, you know, he's turned it around. Knock on wood. I'm not going to jinx him on this show, but this guy's kicking the heck out of the ball right now. I mean, it didn't look pretty. I'll tell you what, Evan, the view they had on that field goal, when it left his foot and you watched it on TV, it looked like it was going wide left, and then it just knuckled straight and went in the upright. But I give Mason Crosby credit. I mean, you look back to the struggles he had, and he did not have it upstairs. And since that season, Mason Crosby has really turned it around and has just been automatic. You know, in that 56-yarder, I was confident, but, man, that's still a long kick. And, again, didn't look pretty. Did not look pretty, but he is putting it where it needs to go, and that's between the uprights. So, yeah, you give a lot of credit to Mason Crosby. I'll tell you what, Evan Micah Hyde, I thought, also played a heck of a game. A guy that has been a versatile player, played multiple roles, thought he did really well. And like I said, Bryce had to come in for the injured Morgan Burnett. Thought he did okay. Young kid put into a huge spot. You know, he had his negatives also, but he also, you know, was around the ball. I thought he filled in admirably for Morgan Burnett, which is a big loss. I mean, you lose Morgan Burnett early in the game, and, you know, already thin in the secondary, and you got to put Bryce in for extended amount of time. I'm sure he didn't expect to play that much. So, I mean, I thought he stepped in and played okay. But to go back, Evan, my one concern is that this is an MO of this Packer team in the playoffs is, you know, against Seattle, they had a lead and they lost it. They had a huge lead in this game, and I know they won. We're going to stay positive, but you were up by 18 points, and you should have not let the Cowboys back in this game. And if there's one thing that's concerning to me is you gave up a lead to a team that's not built to do what they did, in my mind. I know they got weapons. I know Dak Prescott is good, but you looked at a team like the Falcons that can score at will. And the Cowboys are a team that is more of a grind them out, do it, you know, with the running game. But they let Prescott get comfortable, and due to the fact that there wasn't a pass rush, but they let the Cowboys come back. To me, that's a little bit concerning because there's not going to be any lead that's safe against the Falcons should they get the lead. And I know that they came off on fire, and it's hard to maintain that for 60 minutes. I understand that. But it's, like I said, it's smoldered out. It kind of went out a little bit, not advancing the ball, not moving the chains. And I think you hit it on the head. It seems like McCarthy went into that, okay, we got the lead. I got to be a little more conservative. I got to coach not to lose. And now when you start to coach like that, then you lose. And that's almost what happens. So that's all I have. What else you got tonight?
I got nothing to add. I think we just let our listeners go and, you know, get ready to talk the rest of the divisional round tomorrow.
Yeah, we'll talk about the other games tomorrow night, and then like you said, we'll talk about the Falcon Packer game. We get to talk Packers one more week, Evan. Keep extending it. So we'll talk about the Packers on Thursday night. So NFL fans, mark your calendars. Tuesday night, 11 o'clock Eastern. Thursday night, 11 o'clock Eastern. More NFL football. For Evan Witalison, I am Troy Otradovic. Fasten your seatbelts. Put your foot on the gas. Enjoy your night, everyone.